Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, I'm Richard, a change and transformation consultant and self-confessed fintech enthusiast. And today, we continue our series looking at the evolution of fintech in 2023.
Hello, I'm Richard Doherty, business transformation expert and self-confessed fintech geek. And today, we continue our series looking at the evolution of fintech in 2023. And, you know, super excited to welcome a friend and a colleague from Frankfurt, Magic. Magic is the CCO over at Regnology. Welcome today, Magic. Looking forward to our discussion.
Welcome, Richard. Great to be here today.
Brilliant. And listen, been chatting to a number of different folks over the past few months, obviously, as the series kicks off. And one of the things I'm asking everyone is, what excites you about fintech in 2023? So I'd love to get your take on that.
Great. I mean, look, we've seen a massive developments in the financial services space in general. Yeah. Over the last decade, and we are seeing acceleration in some areas. So at Regnology, we are providing the regulatory bit to fintechs, and we see some exciting developments as a lot of fintechs are maturing. We have a great pleasure to work with the already established fintechs like Revolut, Adyen, PayPal of this world. But we also see a lot of the ones in the stealth mode that are preparing to get a banking license, and they're just getting their rips around, you know, how to get regulatory compliance in place. So it's extremely exciting for us. We are doing the regulatory compliance at scale, especially here in Europe, to see how the players in financial technology space are either maturing and advancing or are trying to enter this space and are preparing, and you know, how we can actually help them to keep with compliance at pace.
Nice. And, you know, just staying on that regulatory theme, chatting to people in the market and, you know, both in the banking side and also in the fintech space, it feels like specifically in the fintech space, the role of the regulator seems to be shifting now. There's maybe a much clearer focus on how they should be mitigating risk, especially if you look at some of the things that are happening in the market over the last couple of years. So what is your view on that? Do you see over the next sort of year, two, three, the role of the regulator is going to be shifting from one of adoption and growth to maybe that of making certain that there's more trust and security in the ecosystem?
Yeah, we see a paradigm change indeed. So in what Regnology, we work with 7,000 financial institutions, predominantly banks, but also a bunch of insurers. But we also, interestingly, work with 60 regulators all across the globe. So we have really good overview of, you know, from Australia over Europe to Canada, or, you know, from Sweden to South Africa. And we see that there is a paradigm shift with regulators happening, meaning that they are moving from a kind of way where they were just setting policies, and, you know, there was regulatory pressure growing because of new policies, new regulations, and we had, you know, a bit of regulatory wave after the financial crisis over the decade. But this is shifting to what I call the regulatory execution. So now the operationalization of regulation is taking place. So we don't have, you know, so many new regulations coming up, but you see the supervisors beefing up their skills. They are becoming more and more digital. There is a new term called SupTech, supervisory technology, that's been coined just a few years ago. And this actually de facto means that the supervisors are getting data savvy. They are getting much more technology advanced, And you see a bit of the paradigm shift from regulators, you know, who are very paper-oriented, becoming very data-oriented, which in turn, you know, increases pressures in operationalization of regulation on fintechs and on traditional banks.
And with this orientation or this focus shifting towards more, I guess, clarity on data, does that mean there's going to be more supervision of fintechs? And I don't want to say banks, because banks are already under the cost, but maybe more supervision of fintechs from a data perspective, really taking a look at what reporting mechanisms that they produce and how they're doing it, maybe how they are making certain that things such as fraud aren't occurring in the institutions.
Yes, so indeed, I believe fintechs may have a bit of the advantage in the new setup due to the fact that a lot of fintechs that we are seeing and that we are working with, they have much more modern data systems. So the traditional challenge of traditional banks is that, you know, there is a very legacy data architecture, and with the new requirements from regulators, it's very challenging and costly for the banks to get data out. That's not so much the case for fintechs, because their systems are much more modern. Their general understanding of data is, I believe, advanced, even despite their business models are much simpler. And that's, you know, in this new paradigm change of regulators going much more to a data-driven world, I believe that fintechs can actually be a bit of the beneficiary in the setup, because they can drive bigger efficiency. This whole data provisioning with, again, new ideas from regulators. And we've seen this across a number of jurisdictions, indeed, that, you know, fintechs are much more easier adapting to this change approach from regulators, while traditional banks are still having a number of struggles there.
You know, it's part of the regulation shift and the harder look at how regulators can help evolve the ecosystem. What are some of the key topics, the key regulatory topics that you think will emerge in 2023? Is there sort of the crypto world that you see as a key theme, or is it, you know, crypto, AML? What are the key things that you think are going to be a focus for 2023?
Okay, so we see two topics, and let's say at least one approach change. So the topics are very clearly ESG and crypto. So the topics that you are seeing appearing all across the globe is regulators starting to look really seriously on ESG. And I think Europe is driving the head of the pack. So the ESG topic is being picked up really seriously. Everybody's looking, you know, how they can measure it, how they can use the data for it, how they can report, and so on and so forth. So that's number one. And second, although coming at the moment a bit more through the taxation angle, is the crypto and crypto assets, cryptocurrency. So you see that, you know, the tax authorities are getting the first solid look at how they have transparency on capital gains on the crypto assets, but that's something which regulators are picking up meanwhile as well. So we see a lot of regulators who are trying to understand not only the CDBC, but also the whole crypto asset sector, and starting to understand the exposures in this, and at some point, you know, how it is impacting Pillar 1 and similar frameworks. So that's the two themes that we indeed see quite consistently across all the continents. Specifically, the approach changes regulators going for granular data. So that's like also a very common theme, which started in Europe with so-called unaccredited regulation, but you see it all over the place, regulators looking for individual deposits data, individual loan data, individual securities data. So that's also happening quite consistently across literally every single jurisdiction in the world that we are working for, including the less developed jurisdictions.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
Do you see some collaboration between different regulatory bodies across jurisdictions, maybe in Europe and the US and the UK, and maybe even emerging markets, especially with regards to the new stuff like crypto? They're coming together, they're chatting about maybe a framework that can be used across, you know, the industry rather than in a specific hub like, say Europe or Portugal. Do you see that happening? If so, where do you see it happening?
We do see a lot of collaboration, but that's already a traditional one among regulators. So we see, you know, I mean, one side is to the regional or multinational organizations, so IMF, BIS, the World Bank, but also the European Central Bank, the African Development Bank, and the similar organizations. So we see this type of organization. There's a number of bilateral organizations through the countries, especially on the sandboxes, on the whole topic of innovation. So this is emerging. This is running, I think, very well. And there's a lot of knowledge exchange. And also us as Regnology, working with 60 regulators, we are, I believe, contributing this knowledge sharing, especially from the most advanced jurisdictions to the less advanced jurisdictions, which the least advanced ones are, of course, benefiting from. What I think the regulators are still doing awful job is the collaboration with the sector. So collaboration with the industry, you see very few examples. I think the most successful one is the Austrian example, where the regulator and 850 banks established the regulatory factory, which is a great story. It's actually 10 years old. All the other collaboration with the financial services sector is very theoretical. So there's quite good examples where regulators are trying to do that, but hardly any of these collaborations is operationalized. So it's interesting that, you know, the willingness is there, the execution seems not very successful. And that's, I think, still a concern because it's a value chain. So we are seeing there's a value chain from origination of the financial contract to whatever regulator wants to do with the data about that. But there's kind of artificial cut in the middle, and the communication in between is still very, very poor. And that's kind of, you know, makes this value chain very, very inefficient.
So it's interesting. I mean, why do you think that's the case? Because this, you know, this has been an ongoing problem in the industry for, you know, as long as I've been around, right? But what do you think are the main causes then? Or do you see a way out that, you know, at a point in time, the industry and regulatory bodies actually can collaborate efficiently, so policy does drive both innovation, execution, etc.?
Yes, I'm not sure if I have a perfect answer to this, but look what happened to the automotive industry in the 70s and 80s. So the supply chain automotive got massively standardized and massively industrialized. You know, I remember that, you know, I was doing some projects a few years ago. It's possible to order a car in Germany, and at this moment, the tire manufacturer in Brazil is getting a message to start producing a tire because the car needs to go to the client, you know, in 6 months from now. So the whole supply chain got fully automated, synced together, and it's finally also about data. It's even more difficult because, you know, in supply chain, you have physical goods. For whatever reason, this has not happened to financial service industry. And it's interesting why. Probably the cost pressure was not as big as it was for car manufacturers. The cost pressure is growing now, which is causing for the whole supply chain to look for more efficient solutions. But I think there is certain governance drivers that are still making it more difficult than in other industry verticals to go for much larger digitalization, much higher level of standardization, and automation and industrialization. So these are the topics which, you know, you see in other industry verticals, which are much farther already for decades than in kind of banking, financial services, and regulation. Although, again, this is a virtual value chain, so you actually would think it must be easier than the one where you have physical goods, like in manufacturing in cars. But I believe that, you know, regulators are a bit to be blamed because they are not kind of seeing this as a single supply chain or a value chain. I think that's where the understanding of the actors is having this split in the middle, which is bringing inefficiencies. And there is very, very few actors that are trying to bridge across, you know. So that's why, you know, this RegTech and SupTech terms, even, they are kind of showing the problem, because they are separating the actors instead of bringing them together. That's something, again, automotives figure out that it's inefficient, that you have to just, you know, connect actually the tire manufacturer with the car manufacturer, specialize them in what they are doing, and then automate the whole chain.
I hear what you say. So it's more collaboration, but also, you know, being able to connect those dots in the chain and keep the lines of communications open all the time. Don't just stay in your box, go out, talk to them, bring people together, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, as we look into 2023, what do you think are some of the key trends that people need to, that you think are worth people sort of investigating and being part of as they build out their plan and their strategy for growth in 2023?
You mean for fintechs more or for the providers?
Okay. So in the regulatory space, right? So what are some of the key topics and key trends that you think are really worth digging into and making certain that you as a business are really at the forefront of that conversation and driving it forward?
So look, when we talk to, I think it's a bit different when we talk to financial sector and to the regulator. So financial sector is relatively easy. When I talk to CFOs of banks and fintechs, you know, their job is to comply with regulation. And they have to be as compliant as necessary. You know, it's not a beauty contest. You don't have to be more compliant than necessary and as efficient as possible. So finally, you know, because compliance is a given factor, you just hit the right compliance. So the only dimension that you can work is the efficiency dimension. And efficiency dimensions come, you know, back to the topic, you know, where you can get efficiencies out of it. So there's a huge move to cloud. We've entered in the strategic collaboration with Google as an example to use the elasticity that, you know, public cloud is giving you, because we are crunching, you know, huge amounts of data for relatively short period of times. So this is where there is, you know, a leverage for efficiency, but there's further leverages for efficiencies in automation and standardization for sure. For regulators, as what I was mentioning before already, you know, so crypto, ESG, and granular data. So for them, kind of transforming from paper-driven to a data-driven regulator, that's what's driving most leadership of most regulators, how to increase the data maturity of the regulator, how to increase the education on working with data analytics and similar topics. So that's what, you know, driving more the regulators. Why, again, on the side of banks and fintechs, it's more how to get the efficiency out of it, still remaining fully compliant as the regulators require.
Yeah, and to wrap up the conversation, what's the one word of advice or one bit of advice you'd like to give to, you know, the fintech ecosystem as we head into a new year, 2023?
I believe that, John, you have to think about this compliance level and efficiency in your mind. So we see some fintechs which are trying to reinvent the wheel, while they're losing focus on their core advantage. And the core advantage of fintechs is, you know, not to deal with regulatory and compliance. Actually, this is something which they can, you know, get packaged and connect to their very lean architectures, but it's rather, you know, focus what they're good at, which is executing at scale in a special, you know, use case that they're covering. You know, is it deposit or is it trading, whatever it is, and that, you know, not get distracted there simply.
Yeah, I agree. Sage advice. And listen, as we look to wrap up the show, what's the best way for folks out there to reach out to you or the team at Recnology?
Well, you know, we are, you know, at Recnology.net, we are, you know, available and working with, you know, 60 jurisdictions, regulators. We are working on tax reporting, transaction, regulatory reporting. We're providing this to fintechs, to the fintechs who are just trying to get a banking license or the ones that are, you know, already getting into more robust states. So just, you know, reach out and we'll be very, very happy to have a chat.
Awesome, man. Yeah, really, really happy that you came on the show today. We enjoyed the conversation. To the listeners out there, please tune in again next week. We're going to be diving into and continuing the conversation on what's happening in fintech in 2023. Look forward to talking to you all then.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Fintech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.